10, I mean 11, verse 17. We spent much time yesterday on signs. In verse 16 it said, others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Now, there's some interesting use of words in there.
Well, where are we? I was off of the fog, I guess. Luke 11, something.
Verse 17. The knowing, he says, he knowing their thoughts. Now, the word for knowing there is the normal word for see, eido, E-I-D-O. And so, the idea that he saw their thoughts is what it really says. And that's a position that he was always in, because if you remember how many times that they came to him and asked him a question or asked him about something or said something to him, and his response was totally and completely off the wall from our mind standpoint. He didn't address what they were talking about because he saw their thoughts. Now, that And it went, let's just continue on, and we won't do it today, but in many scriptures, it says the same thing of the apostles, that they saw their thoughts, they knew what somebody was thinking. Does that make them mind readers after our understanding? Well, not really. But it's a sense of always seeing through, never responding to what your senses see or tell you, and not even the words, but it's a now. And this is just like when you started to walk. You crawl for a while, and then you stumble for a while, and then you know. I don't have to go through the whole thing. But the same is true with this idea of seeing through. And it's, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And that includes words. And so, but it must be exercised. You know, otherwise you'll never be able to discern between soul and spirit, or good and evil from the God standpoint. So it has to be exercised. You have to trust that thing, that boom, that you you all of a sudden see something, and then normally you dismiss it because it doesn't make any sense to your mind. Am I communicating?
Yes.
So he knowing, literally seeing their thoughts. Now with Gary, it's easy. You can always see his thoughts. Because he's usually going like this, and he's saying no inside. But anyway, then of course thoughts. It's dianoma, which means it's not just thoughts, it's machinations. It's always trying to... Machinations is a strange word, but fundamentally it means always trying to figure out a way to use something to benefit yourself, which is rampant.
Typical on the human race.
Huh?
Which is typical on the human race.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to spend a minute on time. Let's go to Isaiah 55.
So you're saying that
Machinating. And well, let's just read the start verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not really food, in reality food is what it says. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now this is all talking about eating the flesh of the Son of Man instead of eating dust. And we got to come back to repentance. Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Now, no matter what it is that you've done, no matter what it is that you've accomplished, no matter what project you fulfill, whatever your labor was and has been and is, you labor for that which satisfieth not. And until you can understand that and see that, you can never repent. Because you'll continue to labor thinking that the next labor is going to provide satisfaction. The next idea is going to bring this whole thing to pass. Anybody understand that? Or everybody understand it? Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? All right. Incline your ear, verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, this is just saying the same thing that Jesus said. Deny yourself, abandon yourself, forsake. This is really saying, if you read it, it wasn't translated because this way, because it was too controversial, I think. But let What the word unrighteous here in Hebrew literally means is on the wrong path. But that means everybody. So let all forsake their ways and their thoughts. Forsake their ways and their thoughts. And let him return, shub, repent unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon him. Abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now that means there's nothing that you can be on that your mind takes. There's no way it can be right, and there's no path that it can define that has anything to do with the Lord's path except the one of bringing you to. Amen? Amen? What?
Forsake your way.
forsake you. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
If you get that, then forsaking your way kind of makes sense, because you can't get into his realm of thinking.
So shall my word, well, that's what I mean. This is a scripture that's repeated often by the prosperity gospels teachers. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now that's constantly used for money. And they quote, seed to the sower. If you sow the seed into this hot soil, and they're talking about money. And the word seed is either spora or sperma. So it's a living thing, not money. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. Now that talking about the word, Jesus Christ, going forth and accomplishing the perfection of the bride. But these guys say that is the way, reason, that is the definition of prosperity gospel right there. Because they try to make their thoughts his thoughts, and their ways, his ways. And in doing so, they trivialize testing, they trivialize suffering, they cause, if you give money and are not healed, it's your fault because you didn't have enough faith, you didn't get enough money, you have a demon. I mean, it's on and on. So everything, they make merchandise of you. All right. Let's go to the standard one for Fox, 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
I was just thinking about that seed. It's
the seed is Jesus.
Right. And but for us, we forsake our way and we become the seed that goes into the ground. And we accept our death, and that's what a seed looks like, a dead thing. And we give up our own.
That's the best the human race can be,
yeah,
is the sperm of God, or the seed. The best you can do is to fall into the ground and die. Everything else is empty and futile and worthless. A puff of smoke. See that, then repentance is as natural as breathing. Because you know that Christ is your life. So in a sense, in a very real sense, the purpose of time and space is so that the word would be made flesh. So there's no difference in you between one and the other. My ways are not your ways.
My roommate, we talked many times, and his father was a minister for years, and he talked about how for years my father prayed daily, he read the word, he served people, he was a man of God, gave his life to his church, and
shaft.
Yeah, this 100,000 times return that they're promising. I sure didn't see it with my family, and he wasn't expecting it anyway.
Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody there? You're not there yet.
I know, but by the time you start talking, I'm there.
Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, thoughts, and every high place that exalts itself against God, and bringing into captivity every thought, every single thought, to the captivity of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Should we debate what every means? Like, what is what's that famous one?
What's happening right now? All is-ing.
Now this is why, as I said, we studied yesterday, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. This is why those that seek after wisdom, to them, this gospel of bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ is abject foolishness. First of all, they say it's impossible. It's not impossible. It's as easy and natural as breathing once you see the stupidity and idiocy of your own mind and your own emotions. If you don't see that, then you continue loving the world, walking as the other Gentiles walk. To your mind for solutions. Bring every thought into captivity, casting down every imagination and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, once your obedience has been fulfilled. Now, how is your obedience fulfilled? It's fulfilled the minute that you see the futility and emptiness of your own thoughts and emotions. Then abandonment is the natural course of events, including in abandonment. Everything it says here, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. If your speech is seasoned with salt, your certainly mind has to be seasoned with salt. If every word and every thought doesn't have the component of eternity, it has the component of hell. There's no difference. That's the only two. It's hell and heaven. Bride or vessel of wrath, vessel of mercy. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. And when you see that, then zeal is as natural as breathing. If you don't see that, if you continue worshiping your own mind and emotions, worship means, remember, it's a verb. It means to give breath to give importance to. This is what every word in the Bible even points to. Because it's the only way the word can be made flesh in you. What?
I agree with that.
Well, I know you think it's impossible. Some people here, some people everywhere, think it's impossible to bring every thought into captivity.
I don't think it is. It's just darn near impossible to keep it, keep everything in captivity. That's why you have to repent so often.
Well, a twofold question. Can you believe, or do you believe, that your mind, which includes your emotions, is the only enemy of God in time and space? If you do, then he can never again judge anyone down. You can never again think things should be different. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We will trespass that commandment, that position. But the blood of Christ cleanses us from all trespass. But you must see and agree that your thoughts are evil. Even your emotions are evil. Because your emotions are based on your past experience. Until you know that you know that you know that you are this thing, this son of perdition, the man of sin, that sitteth in the temple of God and exalts himself above all that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Doesn't show anybody else. He shows himself he's God. Because he looks around and sees and says, that's that, that's down. That's up. That's good. That's evil. Now tell that man of sin, the son of perdition, is seen in you as crucified, dead, and buried. And to see the evilness of resurrecting him by giving breath to something in time and space. He's resurrected. God dealt with it. Boom. That's what we're going to study in the next. That's what this parable we're reading now in Luke is about. About Satan being defeated. So now the man of sin in each temple can be just cast out. Your number is 666. You have a mark on your forehead. And you have a mark on your right hand. But define, because this thing, can you can never be at rest. That's what 6666 means. This is it. This is boom.
Now I accept I am the chief of sinners. You've said many times the justification is so wrong. You know, maybe it's trite to say so evil, but through the justification, you basically are saying, well, I'm a sinner, but
there's some good in
it. But there's a little good in me. I'm not as sinful or bad as X, Y, and Z.
I'm not as bad as Gary. No, I'm talking about me. You're older. I'm older than you are.
You're worse than me.
No, this isn't the kid about. This is the most serious thing there is in life. But with that recognition comes the joy of the Lord.
See, that's a key point. When you were talking about emotions, it's like there are emotions.
And they're evil. The joy of the Lord, not your joy.
Well, but it's still emotional. When you have the joy of the Lord, that's
joy is an emotion. Joy isn't emotional because it doesn't come from emotion. It comes from the Holy Spirit.
Well, what does it manifest itself as? Joy, but it's...
And it's massively different than the emotion. Well, it was, again, I mean, same with me, but it was, first of all, it was a great sadness because I was dying.
Yeah.
I had to lose my life.
Yeah.
But the fruit of that is great joy that isn't dependent on anything.
Yeah. So then,
the joy of your emotions feel is as different from the fruit of the Spirit as hell is from heaven. Soul from spirit
soul
is what that
spirit.
Means.
Excuse me, that's right. Soul from spirit. And so, thank God, we've got it on the table. And without it, what do we even have to work with to think?
We have nothing.
See.
We have Him. Just as Jesus did. He emptied Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. Constantly emptied to the point of a vacuum. Then He is one with God. He no longer exists. That's what was happening. He is Son of Man. He has his both his mind and natural talents and abilities and everything he could do was dead and buried in his baptism. Same has to happen in you. You have to be dead and buried. No more dependence on anything. In time and space, even joy. The joy of the Lord is a constant, even in every situation you can be in. It's not given periodically. Fruit of the Spirit isn't separated. The fruit of the Spirit is the personality of Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, etc., etc., etc. First love, then joy, then peace. Making no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Amen.